Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Fall is on the way. A little June gloom in the fall. It's getting cooler. Your bodies are changing. Perhaps your digestion is starting to change. Food is seasonal. And if you don't have the right food for the right season, you start to develop digestive disorders. Digestive disorders, the first three rows in every drugstore across the United States. Heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, hiatal hernias, esophageal spasms. And just your overall digestion as something that's fundamental to your health. What does that really mean? Well, today's show has something in it for everybody. So if your digestion's good, I want you to understand by the end of this show what the advantage is. And if your digestion's reeking with heartburn, reflux, GERD, hiatal hernias, esophageal spasms, if your solar plexus aches and burns, that's that area just below your sternum that gets soft, where it's sensitive and where most people experience their heartburn, no matter what, who, or why. I want you to listen today. I'm going to do a nice compilation over the next 60 minutes of causes and then, of course, how to eliminate. But you've got to have the education, so here we go. As always, get to the website. I've got great pictures. You can learn so much more. If not, use your imagination. Here we go. First of all, from your mouth to your anus, the connection most people aren't thinking in terms of, but from your mouth down to the anus is a tube. That's your digestive tube. When you cut open a fish, when you cut open an animal, you take out the digestive tube because you don't want to eat the contents of the digestive tube. It is a tube, mouth to anus. That tube has a job to do, and the amount of work you give it. So here's the first concept. The amount of work that you give that tube to take the food you put in it and turn it into cellular energy, the amount of work you give that tube determines the amount of extra energy you have to do other things. If you stress your digestive tube, you take as much as half the energy you would have had for the entire day. So you got to understand, your symptoms and concerns about digestion aside, all of that aside, all of us have to look at the amount of energy we make per day and how much of that energy are you utilizing to digest and assimilate your food. Now, that's a very variable number. And that number can be so variable that even without symptom in the digestive tube, you can get yourself sick. The first step towards fixing disease is fixing digestion. Oh, well, your digestion's not problematic. You see, that's where I'm going to kind of slant you today. If your digestion is not symptomatic, it doesn't mean it's not problematic. In other words, how much energy do you use to digest your food? Does that food drop into the gut and disappear within 10 or 15 minutes? Is digestion a breeze? It's like a woman's period, a woman's monthly cycle. How much energy does she give to that monthly cycle? You don't have to be symptomatic, ladies, but you know when you're on your period. When you're in your menstrual cycle, you know it. You may get by without symptom, but you know it. Suppose you don't know it. Suppose your menstrual cycle is just so absolutely smooth that it barely costs you a penny's worth of energy. That's what I mean about digestion. When digestion is optimal, you don't know you're digesting. There's no concept of it. There's hunger, there's satiety, and that's it. Now, how many of us can speak that way? And that's the point. Now, from there, we go downhill. All the way to everything you eat creates heartburn, reflux, upchuck, GERD, spasms in the esophagus. I'm doing the show today because so many people still come into this office with these types of issues. They live with them. They live with them to the point where they can't even get off their proton pump inhibitors. They can't get off of their antacids. They live with a constant burning pain in the solar plexus area that gets worse or better, but it's always there. All of it absolutely unnecessary. We really could, if we got more educated, just clean out the first three rows of every drugstore in the United States, every Stride Rite, every CVS. It's all to help your digestion. So let's get into it. Let's understand it. First concept, it's a tube. Now, that tube is the tube you put food into. And first little pearl, chew your food. Assuming you chew your food till it's, you know, everybody hears that. You've heard it all. Somewhere along the line, somebody's reminded you to chew your food, but how many people do? How many people are on antacids that just slob their food down at high speed at lunch with the coworkers or at dinner with the family? First one is chew your food. That is if you have teeth. If you don't have teeth and you've got solid food, worse yet. So if you're chewing your food into a pulp and it goes into your stomach and then into the beginning of your small intestine, the duodenum, just past the stomach, that food is marinated. So we're going to do a little physiological review. That food that you just dropped into the gut is being inundated by three fluids. One is hydrochloric acid from the stomach. The other is bile from the gallbladder. And the third are pancreatic enzyme. Now, you've got to ensure yourself that you're getting enough of that. Are you making your HCL? Do you have enough pancreatic enzyme? And do you have enough bile? And if you're of the opinion that really this isn't important because you can counter everything with your digestive enzymes and your HCL, forget it. That is a myopic statement. Those things help. They do not create good digestion from adequate digestion. They don't create great digestion from poor digestion. They help. If you've listened to this show for the last 5 years, then you agree, as is your experience, that digestive enzymes can help you. By no means does it mitigate or eliminate the extreme critical importance of understanding that you have to produce your own HCL and lots of it, and you've got to produce your own pancreatic enzyme and lots of it, and you've got to produce your own bile and then get that bile to flow. Now, those three fluids are very variable in their production, thus the need for you to understand. First of all, the hydrochloric acid, if you're not a salt eater, if you don't eat reasonable amounts of sea salt, you may find yourself a little bit shy. But next to this one, the one I'm about to mention, salt or no salt, barely important. The parietal cells of the stomach are under control of the vagus nerve. That's your parasympathetic autonomic supply. That means you got stress, you don't make HCL. That means you're the high anxiety type, you don't make HCL. And for those of you who are on the antacids, the proton pump inhibitors, so on and so forth, the side effects of these things denying you your HCL are catastrophic. So we're not going to address that. We're going to assume you understand that your pharmaceutical drugs, thinking that your heart burns your HCL and that you've got to produce less of it, we're not going to even address that today. Most of you listening to the show know better. But what you may overlook is that a lot of the reason the food rots in your stomach, especially the proteins, the animal proteins especially, is not only because it's overcooked, but because your high anxiety, sympathetic, stress-dominant lifestyle do not allow you to produce any hydrochloric acid, or much less than you should. That's a big one. A bloods, especially A bloods. A bloods are the internalizers. A bloods are the mediators. A bloods the diplomats. A bloods take care of everyone else at their own expense. A bloods off higher levels of anxiety than most of your other blood types. Yes, you listening out there, some of you are saying, yes, that's me. Very classic A blood. A blood, B blood, O blood, AB blood. A bloods classically present as internalizers. They're higher anxiety types that don't produce as much hydrochloric acid. So if you're an A blood, I'm probably talking to you. That's why A bloods tend to need small meals, multiple small meals. They can't handle the big hit because they can't come up with the digestive juice. Very important. So that HCl, and that HCl has functions. HCl is your disinfectant. HCl sets up the pHs for the entire digestive tube. So if you're not getting adequate amounts of HCl, worse yet, denying yourself because somebody made the mistake of telling you that you should and that's the cause of your heartburn, as if it is, but it's not. The function is an anti-infective, to disinfect, to set the pHs by itself, amidst a whole bunch of other things HCl is for, is disastrous for your health. So you think of that food you just dropped into your gut on a pendulum of HCl. Pottinger and Price did those studies years ago where you see animals, well, forget the study, animals in general can eat rotten meat. Animals in nature are always eating rotten meat, a kill that's 3 days old that somebody discarded gets eaten by an animal. That animal lives off that. It shows no sign of disease, no sign of ill health. Just swallows it, chews it, and goes about its way. Stays strong on it. Well, we know why. The amount of hydrochloric acid that the maggots and the bacteria are subjected to are enough to neutralize and sterilize it. And that Price Pottinger Institute years ago did studies. They would watch cats, healthy cats, eat rancid meat and then pull their gastric contents out. And 15 minutes later, all the meat was disinfected. That's a big one. Is your HCl production produced with that type of power? Or is your stress, your anxiety, your autonomic imbalance to the point where you're much in need? Then, of course, there's bile. Bile to emulsify fat, but you need a fat and a protein to hold hands, to work with each other, to assimilate. So when you don't have the gallbladder working, you really don't have not just your fat, but your protein assimilation not in order. And of course, all the shows done won't even get into that. Not really the scope of the show today. What to do to make that bile flow. So we're talking heartburn. We're talking hiatal hernia. We're talking esophageal reflux. We're talking GERD. Talking acid reflux. As far as I'm concerned, just different ways of spinning out the same problem. Understanding the ins and outs of HCl production, number one. Number two, understanding that the bile must flow. Again, if in fact, instead of lodging copious amounts of bile, you've constricted the bile ducts due to sympathetic dominance, anxiety, so on and so forth, you won't get bile flow. And even if you do, are the biliary ducts congested? Now, all the things we suggest, from the oil, olive oil flushes to the coffee enemas, so on and so forth, to make sure.